I'm Dr. Jeff Meldrum, and you're listening to Squatch Talks Podcast. Thank you for squatching.
You're listening to Squatch Talks Podcast. Real stories and real encounters told by real researchers. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
So, hey, we're still here at PowerCon in Bucks County.
It's awesome, yeah. It's incredible. There he is, GoPro.
Eric Gintel. Fancy running into you here.
Eric Spinner,
Bucks
what are you doing
County
here?
Paranormal Convention, first annual.
Oh, yeah, phenomenal, right? Oh, he's the Bigfoot guy for sure. There it is.
I'm the Bigfoot guy, apparently.
Phenomenal.
Supposedly, I'm the headliner. He's got me on last.
I know. Save the best for last, man. But it's a great day, man. We're glad to have you here, man. Thank you.
Wow. I actually came in to your presentation at the perfect time.
Oh, you heard this? Yeah.
You saw me out there.
I said, dude, what the hell? That's awesome. Man.
Oh, so this is great. Now we got aliens, we've got Bigfoot.
We got ghosts.
We got Bill Byrne.
UFOs. And we got Nick Pope speaking
Nick
right
Pope.
Now.
Is he on now?
Right now.
Let's go see Nick.
Check it out.
All right.
Down at the ground, just feet in front of him. He was there with a team of about half a dozen people. And he thought, in later years, when he's talking about this, he says, What was this a weapon? Was this a warning? Was this communication? What was it? And when you say to him, well, what do you think the UFO was? He says, very diplomatic answer, as you'd expect from he retired as a full colonel. His last posting was in the Pentagon. He said, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was under intelligent control. And there were physical traces from the landing site, by the way. This thing landed on the first night. There were indentations in the frozen ground where an object weighing several tons had briefly come down. They went around that area with a Geiger counter. It says, we're exposed to UAP radiation for a longer period of time than usual. UAP radiation, like that is a thing. Oops. And I alerted the lawyer who was doing hundreds of hours of pro bono work for some of these veterans.
So yes, here we are in the green room, apparently. And Squatch has taken his costume
I see
off.
Nick found it.
Who's playing Squatch? Is that you? You're doing a great job. Thank you very much. And we're here with, I mentioned Tom Carey. Hey, Tom. We forgot. I mentioned
right,
you, but
you
found the green room.
We're keeping it from
I'm here with Nick Pope of Ancient Aliens, you might recall. Hey, Squatches. We are here at the first annual Bucks County Paranormal Convention, and I have the special pleasure of having Nick Pope, who you may recall from Ancient Aliens, join us. So Nick did a fantastic presentation earlier, and I'm waiting for Tom to get done, and then I'm going to go on and talk about Bigfoot. But I managed to persuade Nick to come over and just say a few things about what's going on with him. Of course, you may recall he's the, not the Minister of Defense, but
no.
The Defense Ministry, right? You
yes.
worked for them in the 90s, correct?
Yes. In fact, I worked for the UK Ministry of Defense for 21 years, actually from 85 through to 2006.
Right.
My time on their UFO program was 91 to 94.
Right.
And I was a civilian employee, and the Ministry of Defense is the UK equivalent of the DOD here.
Sure. Wow. Wow, that's impressive. And, of course, you know, we hear stories from UK, England, you know, maybe making a little bit more awareness of these individuals, right, these extraterrestrials, I would think. And then it kind of happened here in America recently.
Yes, the British government declassified and released around about 60,000 pages mm-hmm. of UFO-related documents.
Wow. That's a lot.
And, of course, I wrote many of those.
Yeah.
So I came out of retirement to help with that program because the government felt that it would be a good way to show commitment to freedom of information and open government.
Right.
Now, of course, that didn't quite work out because the whole thing generated quite a whole a lot of conspiracy theories, and it took longer than we'd hoped. So this kind of situation came back to bite us. But I was involved in it, and it was good to see my files and documents come out. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons, of course, people say, how can I speak about this so openly? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, I can only speak about things which are unclassified or which the government has declassified. And that's why that program to release those files was so important.
Wow. And so you've been in the States now for around 12 years, correct?
Yes.
You're out in Arizona area, I believe, is where you've kind of made your home base. There's a lot of UFO activity out in that area, from what I understand.
There sure is. I have not yet seen anything myself, sad to say. But yeah, we're in Tucson, Arizona. That said, my wife and I are spending a year in New York City.
Okay.
Because she's a visiting fellow at a think tank there. So we have a crazy but fun year in New York City, right in the heart of it, 7th Avenue, right by Macy's and Times Square, you know, between that.
Absolutely a great area to spend some time, especially as newlyweds.
Well, not so newlyweds now.
It's been a few years.
Yeah, I've been 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, I was going to ask Nick if he had, you know, any personal sightings of these craft. You know, I personally have had two times that I've seen UFOs in my town, actually, in New Jersey.
Sadly, I have not. I have, despite having investigated
hundreds
of other people's sightings, hundreds, thousands, you know, lose count, so probably maybe it is thousands.
At this point.
Never seen a thing myself.
Wow.
It's not fair, really, but, you know, it's the way the cookie crumbles, so we'll see.
It's true, and I find the same thing happens with Bigfoot researchers that I know. I've got friends that have been doing the research for over two decades, some 25, 30 years, never saw Bigfoot, and I've had two visual Bigfoot encounters also.
Right.
I don't know if it's just my good fortune or what, but, hey, I mean, if we're not out there looking, how are we going to see them, right? I was just out with a friend watching the Perseids meteor shower one night, and two craft flew over the house. We were maybe 1,000 feet up in the air. And the front was like hexagonal, and the back was rounded, charcoal gray, and on the bottom was a round, orangey-red disc, and it was just throbbing, like pulsing. Boom, boom. One in front of the next.
Right.
Have you heard of descriptions of ships like that in the past?
Yes, I have. Well, not so much the hexagon shape,
right,
but certainly the sound that you mentioned. I mean, people even talk about a pulse engine.
Really?
And sound is one of the underappreciated aspects of UFO research.
I'm not even sure if there was a sound associated with it. I'm just describing like the throbbing, kind of pulsing,
light
emitting from the bottom.
Right.
It was really silent, I have to say. And again, it just slowly, one in front of the next, in front of the other, glided across the sky.
Okay.
The second time at the same location, I had five white triangles in V formation. I had gone out to check the pool, getting it ready for the guys to come and open it up or whatever. And this is back around 1995. And it flew over. I literally ducked because it was so low. Flew over the house. I ran to the front of the house to see if I could see it. In the park across the street, I couldn't see anything. So I turned, I started walking back down the driveway, came back again over the house and then up and up to the left, just like whoosh.
Right, wow.
And I mean, again, this is something I can't explain.
Yeah.
You know?
It's those sudden changes of direction, sudden acceleration. You always look for speeds, maneuvers, and accelerations that we don't do.
Right.
Can't do.
Exactly. And we've seen this out in the Pine Barrens even. When we're out looking for Bigfoot, we can see sometimes strange craft making these strange turns and different angles, you know. So I'm assuming that too has to be something from not on this planet. One night, one was flying over and I saw what looked like, you remember the old flash bulbs that would go off?
Yes.
It looked like a flash bulb from way up in the high in the sky. I was amazed. Again, these are just strange occurrences that not too many people, I'm sure, report. I don't know if you've heard these from other people.
Yeah, there's chronic underreporting of all of this, of course. That's why it's important to get as much of this on the record as possible, not least so that when AI programs really get the ability to harvest a lot of data, big information. Concern. Well, it's a like a lot of this, there are threats, but there are also opportunities.
Yeah.
And one of the big opportunities will be looking at big data sets mm-hmm. and picking out, finding connections. And then, of course, if you find the connections, right. it will often point you towards some important truth about the phenomenon itself.
Wow. I never considered that. Honestly, I was so up in my head about AI causing so much harm to our research.
You know, that's the thing. It's a two-edged sword. I'm not saying that there aren't dangers. Clearly there are.
Right.
But there are opportunities in terms of research that could... I mean, when you think of how long it takes to manually go through...
Sure.
data sheets, data sets. If you've got it entered in, and of course, you know, you can get the information scanned in, AI can not only, when it's used in conjunction with powerful computers, can not only go through large amounts of data very quickly, but it can
analyze,
spot those connections, join the dots.
Ooh. I've never given that really any consideration. That just really opens up a whole new outlook on it, you know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I have to say, this has been a special treat for me to get to not only meet Nick in person after seeing you on all the Ancient Aliens. It's one of my mother's favorite programs. In fact, I got an autographed picture of Bill for her years ago.
Right.
I should have got one of you, but Bill's going to be traveling out of here shortly, and just very thankful that he took the time to speak with us today. And hey, hopefully you'll check out Ancient Aliens Live, right? You're going around touring the country?
Yes, we've done about 40 shows so far. We've got another, I think, 24.
I think so,
On the website, which is ancientalienslivetour.com.
We'll put a link in the description.
Yeah, we're going all over. We're going to New Brunswick. We're going to Scranton.
Some shows in New Jersey coming up in May.
Yeah, and so all over the place, and we have fun with it.
Right.
But we obviously present a lot of hopefully new information. Particularly, we bridge the gap. We obviously we talk about the pyramids, Pumapunku, Stonehenge, Baalbek, wherever it is. But we also bring it right up to date by talking about the modern UAP data, everything that's going on in Congress. So we bridge that gap, linking the ancient with the modern. And there's Giorgio Tsoukalos, William Henry, David Childress, and myself.
Oh, it's awesome. But now that you mentioned linking in with Congress, I have to ask, do you not feel, though, that maybe some of the information they're allowing us public to hear about is a way of distracting us, to keep us from, you know, kind of keeping track of what they're not getting done in Washington?
It could be, but I think people are used to things not getting done in Washington,
true.
So it's hardly news. But
that is true.
But... Yeah, I think but you're right. We should be mindful and always ask ourselves, could any of this be part of an intelligence operation aimed at perception management, distraction?
Right.
And if so, of course, the question becomes, distraction from what?
Yeah.
You know, when it's the magician's trick, isn't it?
Yep.
When the magician, waves his arm around and says, look at this card, you need to be watching his other hand.
That's exactly right, huh? Well, you've heard it here first, folks, on Squatch Talks Podcast. I want to thank you very much for taking the time. And check out Ancient Aliens Live and future episodes. I believe Ancient Aliens is in its, 25th season, so they're filming right now for the next season. So stay tuned. And thanks for squatching, everybody.
Oh, it's a TV phenomenon, and I'll let you into a little secret. A lot of very kind of influential people in government, military, intelligence community, politicians, they watch it too. They won't necessarily admit to it, but we know.
I'm sure they do.
And one time we went to, we did a show in, Red Bank, so it's kind of like
New Jersey,
D.C.,
Red Bank.
I mean Tyson. Anyway, whatever it was, it was a Washington, D.C. area. We had a lot of
interesting people turn up, and a few people kind of come to the green room, and yeah.
I'm Paul Patterson Jr., and you're watching Squatch Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for squatching.
I don't know why I remember some things other people don't. I'm getting much more acceptance now than I used to get 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, 30 years ago, if I told people, you know, you can hold something in your hand, you have all knowledge, you can communicate, they would have looked at me like I had two heads at least. Now we're holding it in our hands.
Yeah, it's an idea whose time has come.
Tell me about Gene Roddenberry. How did he get his information for the Star Trek series? I like Next Generation a lot better.
Yeah. There is a story that he was connected with a group called the Nine. And the Nine, depending on who you talk to, are sometimes described as ancient Egyptian gods who may be returning or may have never gone away. And some people think they're extraterrestrials. But there is some information to suggest that Gene Roddenberry interacted with the Nine. I've only had that story of second or third hand, so I can't verify.
Ancient aliens about this British woman when she was a young child. She fell down in her head. He became an Egyptian princess, and we did a lot of stuff in Egypt.
Okay.
You ready, Mom?
Kind of. Yeah, it's very interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been to one of these affairs before, but being that this was not far from home, we came.
Well, you were able to make it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Had a good time.
Yeah.
Sorry you won't be sticking around to hear about Bigfoot, but...
I'm not so into.
I know.
I'm not really into. And I mean, this guy's fine, but I've been to Roswell.
Tom does a great presentation.
Yeah, he does.
He brought the house down. He's the star of the show today.
Yes, the one that talked about the president, that was very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Bill Burns did a great job.
Keep on tools.
Stay well, okay?
I'm only 83, I'm going to be well.
That's right. Keep it up.
I expect to live to be 100 because I have things to do, and I'm a survivor. If we blow up this place and the economic collapse that's coming in the fall, I'm still a survivor. I have something to do. What's your name?
Eric,
and when's your birthday, Eric?
Tuesday.
Oh, okay. I'm very interested in when people were born.
When are you, babe?
Good for you.
Everybody celebrates.
Take care, Nick.
Yes, you too. Thanks for coming.
I just thought I'd run it by you. I didn't know if you knew, but it's pretty amazing how there's people that have been able to move large, heavy objects with the anti-gravity or reverse magnetism. And I just didn't know if you had any thoughts on that, or because how could a guy that was, this was back in like the 1950s, 40s, something like that. And he was able to like levitate these real big rocks. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah,
Coral Castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
But again, I have no opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the theories that you hear a lot of people talk about is the sound that may have something to do with
yes.
It. And it's interesting. If you look, I guess, at the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that always struck me as odd, like some kind of thing to say. But what I think it might be said is that there's something very important and fundamental about sound. It just you know, when you sort of hear something and some a little light bulb goes off and you think that it's got a sense of rightness about it. So that might be a thing. Now, the other thing is, there are stories, I think we've probably all heard them, about, and you know, it was a spoof in a sense in the TV series The Incredible Hulk, but we've heard about, for example, the mother who somehow finds the strength to lift the car that's crashed so that it doesn't crush the child. And afterwards people are like, wait, that, it's like everything every system was shut down and was somehow transferred to just the sheer muscle power. And so that is another interesting possibility. Because what that's saying is that we do have the power within ourselves. Sometimes it can be triggered, like it was triggered by a mother's love for her baby. His day to die.
Yeah.
And other times, maybe with the levitation, there are people that can maybe control it in a more sort of thrilling way. And again, the theory, if you listen to people that have researched it, like David Chiller, the theory is that, and Georgia himself, they theorize that sound played a role in liquefying the stone so that it can be molded and shaped to give you these. You know, when we put blocks of stones together, like, you know, even just a couple of hundred years ago, there's gaps between them, right?
Yes, yeah.
But some of these ancient monuments, in siblings,
you can't even stick a knife blade down inside. Yeah,
not a knife blade, but you can't stick a dollar bill between.
Oh, really?
Some of them.
Wow, it's amazing. And how did people back there who didn't have, you know, Bronze Age things, they didn't even have stuff that was strong enough to be able to shape.
That's right. And again, Giorgio, often during the Ancient Aliens live shows, he'll talk about the Mohs scale of hardness. So like limestone is like 1 or 2, you know, diamond is 10, you know, so you get the limestone, but you can mold that with like bronze tools and things like that. But some of the things with granite or with basalt, much higher up the Mohs scale of hardness.
Like those sarcophaguses and things of that, you know, over in the pyramids in Egypt and things like that. Yeah, I mean, it's this stuff's really hard. He took a picture with Bigfoot over there. What a picture. I saw you get that picture with Bigfoot, man. That was great.
Oh, is that, did it look good?
It did.
That
was a little blurry, though, but it was clear.
Well, Bigfoot's not supposed to be bigger than Elvis. He's supposed to be bigger than
Elvis. He is supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bigfoot's a little taller.
Let me, hold on.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Squatch Talks Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, and give us a like, and stay tuned for more exciting stories on Squatch Talks.